Town, Canada. This podcast is a member of the Talk and Audio Network. Find more at talkandaudio.com or search for us on iTunes. Now, let's crack open another one. This is Tall Can Sports.
Oh my! Get up, ball! Get up, ball! Right on cue! What a way to cap off the spring! That, my friend, is unbelievable.
Stands quiet in the box. The 1-0 pitch. Swung on and belted! Deep left center field! Are you kidding me? Vladimir Guerrero Jr. just walked it off. The Blue Jays win it 1-0. Can I see the script you wrote, Elliot?
Unbelievable.
C'est incroyable.
Ça serait un scénario digne de Hollywood. Oui, non, mais s'il y en a une, en plein cœur, je m'en. Oh! La balle est frappée avec force en direction du champ gauche.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports.
I love the TVA broadcast.
TVA, I believe they prefer.
I don't care what they prefer. Fuck them.
Even though I'm complimenting them. I know you love the compliment.
Vlad.
Awesome, man. That comes from the final night of spring training. At Olympic Stadium in Montreal, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. walks it off in the bottom of the ninth. Did you watch any of that game?
No.
It was a fucking dog. It was 0-0, I believe, in the bottom of the ninth. And the thing that was missing in the first part of that, and that comes to you courtesy of James G on Twitter, and I've shared a bunch of these with Rob. He enjoys them. All the big Jays moments, this guy goes and scours the internet for different play-by-play teams call. And so we had the three here. It was Sportsnet, the Fan 590 out of Toronto on the radio, and then TVA on the French side. And the thing that was cut out at the beginning is just before Vlad Guerrero Jr. hits the walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth in Montreal, Buck Martinez and Pat Tabler are speculating, guessing, wishing.
Yeah, well, Buck says, you know,
wouldn't it be great?
Yeah, and then Pat goes, well, that would be the cherry on his ice cream he was talking about the other day.
Yeah, because Vlad Guerrero Jr., for those who don't know, his father played for years and years and years in Montreal, was outstanding, and the thing that Guerrero Jr. always said he remembered is this one ice cream machine outside the clubhouse that he used to go to. And so, yeah, it was missing from the audio that we played there. They said, wouldn't it be great if he walked this off and, you know, hit a home run here to finish it? And sure enough, a couple seconds later, there it goes. That is probably the most fun moment I've ever seen in a spring training
for sure
game.
And you listen to Buck with his, get up, ball, get up, ball. And you think, man, Buck's pretty excited for a preseason game, right? Yeah. That's but it really is, to me, as you said, I think he was born there.
Yep.
He was born in Montreal.
I'm pretty sure that's correct, yeah.
And so now he's Dominican, I think,
yep.
nationality. But still, you know, it's where you're born. The French fans love him, right? As you had said on a show last week or so, you know, why aren't they billing this guy? No, they're not billing him because he's not starting, right?
Right.
But really, that's what the fans are showing up to see.
Yeah.
Right? And it's cool to see his dad there, and his dad's following him around the base pass last night with he got his phone out, and, you know, and it's...
And
it's,
did you... you know, the highlight packs include this, you know, it's not the bat flip, obviously, but it... When he throws his batting helmet off, probably goes 15 feet in the air, right? Yeah, well, he's got some energy to
Well,
him,
that right? seems to be the way to go, right? People want to throw their helmet before they get into that mob at home plate, right? They want to – I'm not sure why that is, right? Because it comes off. It sort of gets jostled. So you see a lot of guys, right? They as they approach the plate and they take the helmet off and they throw it.
But that was fun. I had been flipping back and forth between that and a couple other things last night. And the bottom of the night, it had just been such a boring game, and the play-by-play guys are doing what they can while the pitchers have been dominating. It's like, oh, really, it's just, you know, it's the end of the preseason and everybody's just kind of, but that was a really cool way to finish it and to send the home fans happy, home happy. We had talked on the last Talk and Sports about whether or not this Montreal thing was still worth doing. And it turned out that both nights drew only about 25,000 fans, but created a pretty cool moment there. And really, you know, in what's been kind of a uninteresting, probably is the better spring training for the Blue Jays, is that's the second kind of cool moment that you don't usually get in spring training. A couple weeks ago, Braden Halliday pitching on the same mound that his old man did years back when he had to go all the way back down to single A to rebuild his delivery.
Well, and that's when they played the Canadian.
Yep, Braden Halliday guys in grade 11, pitching for the Canadian junior team, had come out ahead of time and signed up for the junior Canadian team, said it's always been Toronto and Canada that felt like home. That's where he grew up. And so he comes out and pitches for the Canadian junior team against a Blue Jays lineup that was, they had some fun with it. They put in Guerrero Jr. They put in Bichette. They put in Clemens, right? They put in Biggio. They have a bunch
of these.
Which
I didn't even know they had a Biggio.
Yeah, they have these second generation MLB kids, which was kind of fun. And he has a 3-up, 3-down inning. And for a lot of people, that was kind of a little dusty, right? And they keep showing his mom in the first row and they interview her after. And she said, I'm glad it's over, right? This is the first of what's clearly for that kid going to be a bunch of moments, right? Where they ask you about your dad and what you've been going through and stuff. So kind of a fun end to what's been, for the most part, an uninteresting spring, but it's had its moments.
Right. Before we get into any more of that, couple things that come out of this.
Yeah.
Vlad Guerrero, the father, right? Yep. Your five-tool player, right?
Right.
Man, he could do everything.
Yep.
He could hit, he could field, he could throw, he could steal. Like, honestly, he was like a cat.
Unreal.
Now, is it possible that maybe Cecil Fielder slipped in and had a go with Mrs. Guerrero? Because... I don't think Vlad Jr. is stealing too many bases.
The bottom half of Vlad Jr. is big, right?
And man, there's I don't ever see that cat's future
at third. That's a first baseman or a DH maybe.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of people on Twitter who keep calling him my thick son.
I think I'm gonna say Fat Guerrero.
Well, that's just cold.
Would you prefer flat?
Flab Guerrero.
Anyways, if the guy can continue to hit and field and really, you know what? I don't got anything against portly fellas. They need to make a living.
Yeah. You know what? It's it was fun to watch. And Bo Bichette was the first one out of the dugout, losing his mind, right, when this happened. There's clearly...
I think those two are connected,
they're
right?
They're pretty tight.
19 and 20 years old.
Yeah.
They're sort of marching through the system together. And
I got to tell you, though, I hope that's the last time we see either one of them this season.
Until September.
Nope. all season. I don't want to see them. I want them to stay down. I want them to dominate first double A and then hopefully triple A Buffalo by the end of the season.
Man, there's nothing judging by their progression and even
19,
their spring.
Right? It's so much different than most sports. You just don't see.
I know, but I'm saying even, and you look at their spring training and take those for what they are.
Yep.
But that they won't go down and dominate double A baseball.
Oh, yeah. No, that's going to happen. But I just, and part of it is that cruel don't start their clock right until next year, right?
Yeah,
Make sure you're going to hold on to them for as long as possible. I don't want to see them again, especially if we're bad.
Right.
And especially if we're bad.
And again, I haven't finished my thing. You keep wanting to jump ahead in this conversation. I know, but you keep pushing it forward.
It's my job. You bog us down.
Yeah, it's true. It's the term, and I'm not sure whether I love it or hate it, the term walk off. Like, to me, there's something very cool, like you just got fucking walked off.
Right.
Right? It's not, baseball is not the most, it's not the sport full of machismo. There's no contact.
Right.
You're not busting heads and there's no full contact.
No.
Right? But you just got walked off, yeah. Right? And it's something like the idea that, whack. See that shit? That just happened. And you got no chance to reply. Not today.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Right. So, it's fun, man.
So there's something very cool about that.
When he left a hanging slider out there and a 19-year-old kid golfed it the fuck out, right?
Okay. But where else do you hear that term and you think it's cool?
Walking off. Just sauntering away.
Hey, Susie,
I can't think.
Walk it off. Hey, like, you're all right. Walk it off. Right? Like, to me, there's nothing very cool. If somebody says that to me, hey.
Walk it off.
Walk it off.
It's true.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? I think the thing that I think of the most is a lot of people remember the Bautista bat flip. Like, that feels like a walk-off moment.
Right.
But it wasn't. That's the seventh inning, right?
It is a seminal moment, though, of that
sure.
series.
Absolutely
game.
It was. And Osuna comes out in the eighth, and I think he goes five outs. For the save afterwards, but as you suggest, there's something really cool about going, nope, we're done. I'm golfing this out.
Yeah,
we're done here.
And did you have something more to say? Oh, not today. You don't.
Right.
Later.
And most sports don't have that. And that is one of the things I love about baseball. Even on the other side, is the clock will never run out. You can't hold the ball. You can't stand behind your net with the puck. You have to throw me that and get me out 27 times. That's one of the things I love about baseball. There's no clock to help you. You have to beat me. And until you have...
Well, and quite often with four-hour games in baseball, yeah. The clock is actually what is killing me.
I get that, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But
there's no clock that's saying, you got to go. But the clock is saying, I got to go to bed.
I got to wonder what Joe Biagini's thinking headed to AAA, where they are going to be testing the 15-second pitch clock. Because that guy takes, like, 49 seconds between every
pitch. Then nobody needs the trip to AAA Buffalo more than Joe Biagini.
Biagini! I knew that was coming.
Can you hear his name and not say it?
No, it's too much fun.
Okay.
The Blue Jays even have come to him and said a few times, you got to speed it up. You're killing your defenders, right? You got these guys standing out here all day in the fucking sun. Could you throw the fucking ball? Right? So.
Wait, it's happening. The game is on.
That was a... as much fun of an ending as you're going to see to a spring training game. And even with only 25,000 people in the stands in Montreal, it's five times more than what's in any spring training game. Right,
right? But you hate to see the ball sail into empty seats.
Yep.
Right, which is where that went in sort of left center, right? It's sort of...
It's exactly the way I remember baseball in Montreal.
Yeah. Well, this is it.
A Guerrero hammering it out to nobody.
Into empty seats. Right.
Yeah.
And so... to me, beyond that, spring training, and I was going through some of the stats today, looking at the, to me, it just seemed to be very low-key,
yep.
Workman-like, right? You had a couple of little flare-ups issues or concerns, right? People, you're looking at things, right? How's Sanchez? You know, how's Travis? What's happening? You know, Stroman
right.
only getting the three starts, and you're like, what's going on, right? Donaldson. Right. All these sorts of questions that are sort of around your boy Grichuk,
yeah.
And you sort of go, you know, what's going on? But really, they just sort of churn through. And I think that's what made this spring sort of so unremarkable is
And I think
that there wasn't really any huge problems.
I think even in terms of the fan base, there's a lot of trepidation, right? Like, I don't care about any of this. Call me when it's real because, you know, I don't know. I think there's some pessimism and I think there's some optimism, but I don't think there's much in the middle, right? I don't think there's many people saying, you know, this team will be all right. And I think there's a lot of people that think this team's going to be terrible and a lot of people probably like me who look at this and go, they're better in most positions, even if it's not remarkably better, and they'll be okay. I don't think there's a ton of indifference. I think there's a lot of, this is going to go one way or the other.
Because if you look at, and it's a great point you just made, right? If you look at,
that's what I do.
The real sort of trouble, the flare spots, right? Middle infield, right?
Yep.
And your corner outfields.
Yep.
Right? And you go, have you improved, even if it's slightly, have you improved in those areas? Right? And I think the answer is yes, right?
Yeah.
If you look at with the acquisition of Diaz and Solarte,
yep.
Right? Who are at least plans B and C sort of to take care of that sort of if Tulowitzki and Travis have any problems, they are upgrades over Goins and Barney.
For sure.
Right? And then you look at the shitstorm that happened in the outfield. Right.
Yeah. There's no question Grichuk is going to be miles better than Bautista defensively. We'll see what he's going to do with the plate. A lot of the fancy stat people have him projected for between 23 and 28 home runs. I'm fine with that on a right fielder who, you know, hasn't seen. But defensively.
Give me solid D.
Right.
And give me 20 home runs.
Right. And that's it. Right. Because, like, how many runs you need to score is in direct correlation with how many runs you plan to give up, right? So if you're going to give up that much less, you don't have to be an all-time great offense. And they won't be. They'll be a middle-of-the-pack offense.
Right, and we'll
but
see.
You can't be an all-time bad defense.
We'll see. If they can have, and I don't expect, if you look at Smoke, and he had a very unremarkable spring, and no one's going to be judged, you know, on your spring training stats until April 5th, right, or whatever it is, when they look at it and go, okay, your unremarkable spring has turned into an unremarkable spring.
Right.
And then you go, now it matters.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, if you hit 200 in spring, nobody cares. You're getting your at-bats in, you're getting your work.
Yeah.
You're doing your thing. Show up early April, ready to go. Right? So if you expect Smoke is gonna come back a bit, if Donaldson gives you—
And I do, don't you?
For sure I do.
Yeah.
For sure. But does that mean 20 to 25 homers?
I got him probably 25 to 30.
Okay.
After 38 last year. So he's going to regress. But
give me 25, Justin.
Yep.
I'd be fine with that.
Yep.
And keep that average in the high 200s.
Right.
Can you do that?
And it's often kind of a thing you make fun of, and we did earlier with Guerrero, that first base is where you stick some of your defensive, you know, real problems. That's not Smoke. Smoke is a great first base defender, and he digs out, which he's going to have to, because Diaz is going to, you know, airmail some shit to him over at short, right? And you've got some pieces that are, you know, maybe not as good as what you had defensively with Goins and Barney, but much better offensively. So he's going to have to be better, right? He's going to have to pull some shit out of the dirt, and he will.
And so really, that's all I'm suggesting is, and listening to whether it's Gibbons. I honestly say it all the time.
So
and I stop and think about it too. And I'm like,
don't do it. Oh, I did it.
Yeah. And even I was listening to Tim Leeper the other day, first base coach.
Yeah.
Right. And he's, they all seem to be feeling very optimistic about Travis.
Right.
In terms of the spring he's had. And
I think part of that is just being more comfortable with what he is. He's never going to give you 120 games. Can you get by with him giving you 90 or 100? And
give me the 100 to 120? Perfect.
Yeah. And that's clearly why they've brought in. I was really surprised. I don't know how much you've been paying attention to it, but they signed at the last minute Danny Espinosa, and it looked like he was kind of going to be the other utility infielder since Tulo was going to the DL to start the season. He's very much like a Goins or Barney in that he's a really good defender but can't hit his way out of a wet paper fucking bag. And it looks like he's not going to make it. They've added Gift Ngolpe to play that spot. And
that's the Nigerian guy.
Yeah, and he's very much similar too, right? Great defender, but not... You can carry one of those guys, but you can't have them making 140 starts a year, right? Like you did last year.
Right.
And that's kind of the deal is if he can spell Travis a bit, and Travis, almost like a catcher, he's not going to play day game after a night game, right? He's not going to, you know, at most probably for the first 2 months here, he's probably never going to play all three games in a series. Right. It'll be two out of three. And
really, let's see how he goes, right?
Yeah.
Let's see if he can keep that hamstring from totally... Yeah. Unraveling,
because he's really your only option too as a decent leadoff guy. Like, he's an important guy,
right?
Like, when you look at the rest of that lineup, I don't know who else is going to lead.
When he's contact guy,
yeah,
right, and all those sorts of things. And so you're hoping for more of that if you can spread that through, right? And to get away from that a little bit more speed,
yep.
Right? If they can get away from that sort of waiting on the 3-run shot, yeah. Right, which clearly wasn't coming last year, right? Nope. and if Donaldson, as long as he's here. Right?
And I don't expect Kendrys Morales to be as bad as he was last year. A lot of the stats, again, they look at things like exit velocity, right? And how much contact he's making. And he had in like one of the worst three guys in terms of luck last year. And luck isn't what you want to talk about in sports, but in terms of drilling it right at a shortstop, right? And having it caught, even though you barreled it hard, right?
Yep.
Or you hammered one and it hit the top of the wall instead of just getting out. And in terms of luck, he was at the very, very bottom. So expect that to regress back to the middle,
and
right?
He came in billed as a guy who should love to hit in the dome.
Yeah.
Right? And does he come into this year, you know, benefited probably by lower standards on the fan base?
Yes. Probably.
Right.
We could all stand to have the standards lowered a little bit. People's expectations of us lowered
a
little. Yeah,
really?
Okay.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Aim higher, man.
Yeah.
You're 2-inch vertical. So he is...
At least 2.5.
Yeah. To me, I think he is... He came in sort of built his... Hey, he's going to hit... He's going to give you 25 to 30. Right?
And yep.
And I just think, man, shoot for another 25, right? Give us that.
Yeah, like we got spoiled a little bit. Through 2015 and 16, you had like historically great offenses in terms of bashing the shit out of the ball.
2015 especially, the second half of 2015.
Yeah. You just hammered it.
Get under something heavy.
Donaldson, Tulo, Bautista, Edwin, like you were just... batting the fuck out of everything.
Yeah, that middle of the lineup was scary.
It was
scary, scary.
And all of it from the right side. So you'd bring in your righties going, oh, I'll show you. And still, wham, gone, right? Like,
I'll show you.
Nope,
you won't. You'll show me shit.
Right? Like, yeah. it's – people forget how close you came. That Kansas City series, if it wasn't for, you know, a couple of balls and strikes and important moments and fucking fans reaching over the fucking railings and grabbing shit, like that
throwing
was
beers.
Historically awesome, that offense. And so what you have to get back to is this being comfortable being an average offense with this type of rotation. If it stays healthy, you don't need an all-time great offense.
Well, and you'd think coming out of that 2015 when the Royals absolutely small-balled us.
Yep.
Right, and you went, all right, do we make the appropriate changes? And I know 20, you know, that's spring of 2016 is forever ago, right? When
yep.
free agency comes up and
yep.
you start to tinker and retool. That is ancient history. But they didn't learn shit. They didn't learn a thing there. They didn't make the changes. They said, yeah, we're gonna take the same run at it, right?
Yeah.
And then instead of winning your division, you actually were in a play-in game.
Yep.
Right. And then it just, the tires came off, right? And so I'm hoping that...
Well, again, though, in the ALCS, like, good season, the tires didn't come off.
No. I mean, in 2017, the tires came off.
Yes, okay.
I'm saying you were in a playoff game and a play-in game in 2016.
Yeah. Thank God for Buck Showalter not wanting to use his fucking guys.
Yeah.
we're moving on.
Well, right? And you know what? Like, when you look through history, you know, that's how wars are won, right?
Yeah.
One general makes bad decisions. You know, I got a feeling.
There's just something when you look at John Gibbons going, that did he just out-clever someone? No, yeah, probably not. But I don't dislike Givi, but I don't think.
I think what actually happened was he just did nothing, and the other guy didn't make the right call.
And Edwin went, "Thank you, smash."
Yeah,
right. And then he left for Cleveland.
And so, and then he waited for got a big fat contract offer, denied it, and then took less money elsewhere. Right.
Everyone Good. Played that really well.
Yeah, that's honestly a huge drop off, and he would have been great. You know, if you look at his final totals last year, he wouldn't have helped us, but
wouldn't have hurt us.
No, for sure, but he wouldn't have masked the pitching problems we had right. and all that sort of stuff last year. And if to me, and you've brought it up a couple times now, if you look at that, the pitching staff, and if you look, and I was reading somewhere where they said, you know, there's probably not a legit number one in that lineup, right? But they're saying, but you may have two number twos in
the rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Stroman and Sanchez. And you may have two threes
on Sanchez.
Hap and Estrada, you know, and then you have this nice little Jaime Garcia at the end.
Hey, Jaime.
Yeah, I know. Jaime.
I'll take our rotation over the Red Sox or the Yankees.
Okay, no. And that's what this person was saying.
Yep.
Was top to bottom, there may not be a better rotation in the league. And there was so what are we gonna get here though? The injury prone, up and down, like Estrada was spent a half a season all over the place. Sanchez gave you 160 less innings than he did the year before.
I'm blaming management for that, though. They botched that terribly.
So you're feeling good that same management group is going to be able to fix that
didn't
now?
Didn't say that.
Okay.
He's gone through spring, has had no issues with it, and I'm sure if there's even a mild hot spot on that finger again, he's sitting down for a couple of starts. To go through and just go, well, why don't we just cut off part of his fingernail and see if that helps? Oh, no, whoops, we ended his season. Like, they botched that terribly.
Oh, they're going to say cut off the end of his – why don't you cut off the end of that finger and have a go?
That'll help. The thing that scares me just a little bit is in terms of at-bats, Solarte and Diaz will be better than Goins and Barney. But big parts, four out of your five – starters are ground ball guys, right? The ball's going to be in play a lot, and we're not as good defensively on the infield as we were. We're okay, but if you're going to have a rotation like that, you'd like to see – that's the only thing that scares me a little bit, is if the infield – like, there's a big part of me that thinks that's a reason that Gift and Golpe made this team, right? As if things don't go well, at least he can come in and help – you know, Estrada especially, right? Stroman especially in the middle infield, who you have to make plays because those guys don't overwhelm you with their stuff. They make you ground into shit that you didn't want to, and
right. You
have to defend there or it just doesn't work.
I'm liking the corners, yep. Right? And again, I know that's not what you're asking.
Yeah.
It is that soft, creamy middle, right? Which is what makes or breaks.
Sure.
Straight up the middle, but... If you put enough balls in play, I'm confident with that they're not gonna set any error records.
Just keep booting it, yeah. No.
Well, this is it. That you know what we'll tip the hat.
Sure.
On the odd one, right? Yep. But I think they're good enough.
Well, that's one of the things, right? Everybody talks about what an upgrade, and I'm one of them. Defensively, Grichuk is over Bautista, and you go, but how important is your right fielder's defense compared to? Well, it's not even like your left fielder, right, where you got 37-year-old Granderson and always injured Steve Pierce. That guy with all the righties in the lineup needs to be better defensively than your – like, Grichuk's a huge upgrade, but in the least important spot defensively.
I get it. I get it. I do, but I think you're talking about a huge upgrade because the last one
– oof. Again, well, second worst in the league according to most metrics.
Not that good. So apparently somebody's looking at it and apparently it's worth something. So to me, if we can get back, and I say we.
Get right back to where we started from.
To this, and not just Sanchez in 2016 being the ERA champ, right? This the Blue Jays had the best team ERA at 3.6 and change, right? They were there as the best starting unit,
yep.
Right, in terms of ERA. And that's where they really have to – you got to live. You got to be there, right?
Yeah, they're gambling a lot in a few places. But if 50% of them go right,
yep.
you're You're okay. You're okay. And that's what I think. I think this is a middle-of-the-pack team. And, like, I don't think there's any doubt the top four teams in the AL are long since decided. It's Boston, it's New York, it's Cleveland, and it's Houston. So there's your three division winners and your wild card. Can the Blue Jays get in the mix in that mid-80s win total and compete for the second wild card?
Does this strike you as an 85-win team?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But not much more than that.
Okay, this is it. This is what I'm saying. So to me, you're looking at, you'd have to, is it a freak lucky season if they can make 90 wins?
Yeah, probably. They're 84 through 87 kind of.
Okay.
And that's probably enough to have you in the conversation.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that I'm most afraid of, and I've talked about this before on the show, you know, Minnesota's made some okay moves here in the last couple of weeks, including picking up Lance Lynn, which, man, the Jays could have gotten in on that. But the Twins are going to get to play for 54 games. The Chicago White Sox, the Detroit Tigers, and the Kansas City Royals, who are all going to be just terrible. So count on them winning probably 50 of those 54 games. The Jays have, 36 just against New York and Boston?
38, 19 apiece.
Right. And
that's almost a quarter of your season.
And then at the end here, Baltimore, who looked like they were going to be really bad, made a couple of moves, including adding Cobb. Bundy, I expect to be better in their rotation. Like, I don't expect the Orioles to be good.
Kong! Bundy!
I'm more like the no ma'am, Al Bundy kind of. Okay. That's my first reference there. But,
all right.
Yeah, you know what? Like, they're not going to be good, and I expect them to finish behind the Jays, but they're better than they were 3 weeks ago, and you kind of go, I didn't need that, right? Like,
yeah, because likewise, when you go 38, almost a quarter of your season against the Yankees and the Red Sox, a couple of weeks ago, you're looking at 38 against the Rays and the That's Orioles. Right.
That looked a lot.
And you're like, hey, can some of this equal out?
And the thing is that the Rays, for whatever reason, are always a nightmare for us. Like,
well,
they're going
to
be terrible
for us to play there.
Yeah. For whatever reason, we can't get shit done there. So
Toronto's record in Tampa is atrocious.
Right. So to me, they're a mid-80s.
Flock of Seagulls, Blue Peter.
I don't know what you're doing over there. Mid-80s kind of win team, middle-of-the-pack kind of team, and it might be enough to get you a second wild card, and then who knows? But you might miss out by two or three games. You might, and, you know, we'll see.
You might be flaming out in May, and they may have traded Josh Donaldson by then.
Oof, yeah. The big thing that they cannot do, and this team has, for whatever reason, gotten off to bad starts over the last few years, but last year was 1-9, 2-12. You can't do that. And people forget, they were basically a 500 team after that. 9 times they had a chance to touch 500 after.
Never once did it.
Right. After that. But to get back to that means they made up 10 games.
Yeah.
So, like, we're kind of tainted by what was a bad season last year. But it was really a bad start and then a mediocre season, right? And I don't know how much comfort you take in that, but if you can avoid that, having 4 games to start the Yankees is not what you want.
Split, baby, split.
That's it. I'll take the split there all day, right?
Well, and you know what? You look at, I see the most recent issue of Sports Illustrated has Giancarlo Stanton and Judge on the front of it,
yeah,
right? And they're talking about the rebirth of Let the Bashing Begin and the rebirth of Murderers Row. And
can it start after Easter weekend?
Well, and I don't know, you look at Judge and you look at, and again, we've already discounted spring stats, but man, his spring was not much. And you go, now, is there a sophomore slump waiting to happen in that guy's?
I hope so.
Or do you see him hitting 50 homers again? Now, they're playing in a bandbox at New Yankee Stadium, right?
Well, basically everything in the AL East. Just, like, that's one of the things with Grichuk, right? When everyone goes, what's he going to hit? Well, the AL East, much more hitter-friendly than the NL Central.
Whew, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure.
So we are on the eve of the season starting. I've given my – where do you see them? Kind of that same
– Yeah, to me, 85 was the number that I had.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm the optimist. Said no one ever. But, you know, in my homerism, right, I'd like to see them – man, if they could – if things could just flop right for them.
Yeah.
But if not, if things go awry, you got to flip Donaldson for some prospects.
And that's it, right? When we get to the end of July, if they're 49-51, like that's worst case scenario.
Yep.
49-51, three games out of that second wild card where it forces you to hold on and take a shot. You can't sell, but you can't buy. That's bad. Like, you'd rather be like 38-60 or whatever at the deadline,
yeah, well,
right?
Yeah, you wouldn't. But,
or if you could get a couple of
solid picks, prospects in that Bichette Guerrero age group.
Well, and that's because it won't be just Donaldson. Estrada will go. Hap will go, right? Like, you're going to deal some shit. There,
and
right?
To me, and I know we're gonna close this out, and I don't want to open a whole other can of whoop ass here, but I look at. If healthy Sanchez and Stroman, that's a great one. That's a great top of the lineup, right? I have some serious question marks about Hap and Estrada. If they, what are they going to be, right?
I'm comfortable with Hap. I'm concerned big time about Estrada. He's had back issues before.
And then you have Garcia at the end, which to me is a lot like one of those used up old school erasers on a pin. That's like your stopper, right? Right off the end, to me, it could be great. Right?
It could be
great.
Yep.
Or then it could be 60% shite.
Well, since you're trying to shut us down on a sour note, I forgot I got this thing here that I want to finish us on a positive note. It's a sound clip.
It's a sound clip. Nobody would ever describe that thing over there.
Don't be like that. We got, they've got, in a recent very end of spring training here, they've got Mookie Betts of the Boston Red Sox mic'd up in center field. And so they're interviewing him, and they're talking to him about a couple of different things. And we don't need to talk about the entire situation, but you will hear them discussing something. And then all of a sudden, while he's still mic'd up, because this is during a game, someone makes some decent contact. I'm going to play that for you now so you guys can hear what happened.
It wasn't a walk-off. You didn't just drop the mic and walk off knowing that this is a strike and I'm done.
I wanted to, but because... Yeah, I mean, it's etiquette, you know, bowling etiquette. You can't...
Right. Uh-oh. There you go.
I ain't getting this one, boys.
Get on your horse. Don't miss the cutoff.
Is it just me or does it sound like he's carrying his keys or something in his pocket?
Yeah, he's like all those baseball guys. He's got a bunch of gold chains around his neck. And he's running and he's like, oh! it's like he's wrestling with somebody out there.
So that's kind of fun. I wish they'd do that. I get it. You're not going to do that in a big game in the middle of. But they got him mic'd up and they're talking to him.
I'm not going
to
get this one, guys.
Yeah, I love that. And then all of a sudden, one of the guys in the booth is, don't miss your cutoff or whatever, right? Like they're all trying to get their little lines in at the end. So I thought that was kind of fun. Easy to do in spring training. That baseball should be doing more stuff like that as they try and appeal to a younger demographic, as baseball has often been described as. Pretty dull, but
that's why it's on the decline, right?
I guess so. That's Tall Can Sports. The season starts Thursday afternoon.
Woo!
Jays and Yankees at the Dome. Finally, we'll have a little more baseball to add into these shows as we move forward. We'll get out of here. That's Rob over there.
See ya.
And my name's Matt.
See ya.
Goodbye.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.